So I think the first thing we want to do is have you identify yourself, because you could have just been somebody I met in the Hilton lobby here at South by Southwest.
I'm Ruddy, and I play in the band Idlewild.
I am Rod, here in Texas.
And I am Colin. I too am in Idlewild.
Okay, South by Southwest, here you are among all the youngins. Now please take this the right way, but when you guys started, you were in your early 20s. You're not as old as your interviewer, but you know, you've been at this a little while, so would you each give me your deep, dark, or warm and fuzzy impressions of all of this stuff?
South by Southwest, you mean?
Yeah, and kind of, you know, here's Idlewild at South by Southwest. Now, how many times have you been here?
It's the third time we've played at it. But actually, I enjoy it more now, I think, because the first time we came, it was almost like we were being introduced to the American music industry, media, whatever you want to call it.
Ouch!
Yeah, and the second time it came, it was kind of an element of that, but it was also part of a tour, so it was much more kind of like we felt more, you know, in tune with it. And this time we're purely coming to play a concert, so it's...
You're not here to hype your latest...
The thing is, we're actually coming all the way to Texas to do a concert for British television. That's what we're here for. So, I mean, it's kind of strange. And most of the interviews, bar this one, have been for British magazines. Pretty much why we're here, because our record's not coming out in America till August. Because it's out in the UK now, and we're busy promoting it in the UK and playing it on tour in Europe till kind of the middle of the summer. And then we're going to come over here. So.
Well, what is the most exciting thing you've seen at South by Southwest so far?
Yeah, and mainly an excuse to see all our American friends, who we don't usually see very often. But yeah, it's just, we're just here, play a couple of shows and then go home.
Played last night actually in someone's house. We have a friend and they said, "Do you want to come play our..." They were having like an old school sort of Dazed Confused style sort of house party. And they had like equipment in their living room, so we went and played there, which was quite fun.
How was the mix?
It was just a room packed full of people drinking beer, watching bands. It was quite fun.
Okay, all these comparisons. Let's see, you're REM, you're Echo and the Bunnymen, you're the Smiths, you're Nirvana. You're hard-edged with a melodic side.
There's elements of all those groups, obviously, in the music, that because we kind of grew up listening to all of those bands. But I think now it's our fifth album we've just put out, and over the years we've kind of... I guess we're on our way, if we haven't found it anyway, we're on our way to kind of having our own sound, you know? A sound that's maybe recognisably Idlewild, whatever you want to call it. So I think that, to me, it's just... I don't know, like, it's pop music, really. It's like rock music, but it's got thought behind it. That's as simple as I can put it. It's melodic music that, you know, I find real definitions very hard, because I like, you know, Devendra Banhart as much as I like, I don't know, Fleetwood Mac. You know, it's not, and I just consider them to be good music, so it's not, you know what I mean? So I guess it's rock music with thought.
No, I mean, I think we have, rather than being compared to a lot of bands, I think we do have our own sound now. I think over... As already said, over five albums, I think we've got to a point where people can recognise us as our own band rather than sounding like REM, which seems to be the most popular comparison.
A lot of the bands that I've interviewed over the past year, I think the pivotal thing for them is we played our first Glastonbury, we won our first Brit Award, you've played a few Glastonberries.
We don't play it. We've gone to a lot of festivals, actually.
Tell me, for those who haven't been to a festival like that, as opposed to a thing like this, because this is kind of an event, almost a trade show. Glastonbury is truly a...
Glastonbury, I think, is the only true festival. It's the spirit of festivals, what they're supposed to be. It's basically, if you watch Woodstock or a film like that, and Glastonbury's the closest thing a modern festival can get to that. Obviously, there's, you know, it's very... commercial in a way that it's televised now, and you know, it's a sponsorship and stuff like that, but still, like, Michael Eavis keeps the sort of integrity of it together, and the fact of where it is, and a beautiful part of England, and the fact that there's loads of other like jazz stages, acoustic stages, theatre, you know, healing fields. It just is this brilliant place, and if the weather's good, and now they've got the security fence and you're not getting robbed every corner by some Liverpoolian guy with a stick, it really is
a little classier.
It's really nice. It's like, it's a brilliant place to go, and like I look forward to going every year.
So the latest album, you went a little far afield to record it, did you not?
Yes, I went to Los Angeles.
California. Yeah, so tell me a little bit about that, and producer and all of that good stuff that nobody knows about yet.
Okay, well, yeah, we were just given the opportunity to go to Los Angeles for 3 months and live in a really nice house and record in a studio that, you know, Fleetwood Mac and The Doors and all these great bands had recorded in.
That's tough, really tough.
It wasn't really a difficult decision, you know. We had a really good time. And obviously Tony was just a really cool guy who was really into the songs and had really good ideas about where to take them. And he was just enthusiastic, you know, and we just got on really well with him.
Well, he just did stuff that we didn't imagine ourselves, which is what a good producer can do. One, also, he's a lovely little man, very warm and
company. A lovely little man. Yeah. Sounds like a Kinks song.
Yeah, well, he's just, yeah, it was just really good company, and that's really important for a producer. And then he made good suggestions. Like, he'd listen to a song which he liked, and he'd say, well, maybe let's try and do something with this part. And then we just pull it into this different shape, which would really work. So, yeah, in one way, it was just a brilliant summer.
Well, I think one of the things that's interesting about a band that is this many albums into it and isn't, you know, isn't on a teeny tiny label, it isn't trying to rise. I hear more producer stories these days that are kind of angst stories. You know, he came in and he tried to destroy our sound. Yeah, and great producers tend to work with the band to make the sound.
Some people are too precious as well, you know what I mean? Like, there's no such thing as perfection, and some people think they've got this perfect thing. I think that, you know, don't get anyone to produce it then if you don't want anyone to touch your music. That's the whole point of a producer, is to have someone that's going to pull something out of it. And we're not precious about it. I mean, we know that we write good songs, and we know that Tony's a good producer, and we knew that, you know, he made some suggestions sometimes. Initially, you think, this is a stupid idea. But then you would go through with it, and actually, if you met sort of halfway, you would come up with something that was really good.
So. This is so un-rock and roll of you.
Well, you have to be kind of, like, open to different ideas. Otherwise, you just, like, you may as well just go to sleep forever.
And many...
That's a little extreme.
Come on, we need some angst in the interview.
No, I don't have any. Colin's got loads.
Colin, tell us about your angst, will you please?
I keep my angst buried deep. It doesn't bubble up to the surface. So.
There's the new song, I Keep My Angst Buried Deep.
Yep.
I think it's got possibilities. For those who are in America who don't know, I have to go here. I have to do one more NME question, the band name. Because a lot of people don't know, and you know. So the band name. And also, I've got to do it because I love doing it with new bands, but with a band that's been around for a while, do you remember all the names that didn't work?
No, we only had one name, really. It was,
This is the only one that didn't work.
It was the...
Idlewild's the only one that didn't work.
We only had one. I had an idea to call the band Idlewild because I'd read it in a book that I'd been reading at the same time, the word Idlewild. And I suggested to everyone, and everyone was quite into it, so we kept it. But we never had any, like, you know, didn't have huge lists of things like, you know, melted lollipops or dog's hair or something like that.
I'm sure we had the name before we had a bass player, did we?
Yeah.
So,
the name... Yeah.
I like melted lollipop. So, you know, maybe like the side band?
The Melted Lollipops.
The Melted Lollipops? Tell me about your live sound versus the sound on record, because...
I'm more unpredictable.
Unpredictable.
Yeah.
Take that one.
Where do you want me to take it?
I don't know, but, you know... Okay, you've just created an album that is going to be well produced.
Yeah, well, an album's just considered, isn't it? You've had time to consider what you're doing and make it sound exactly the way you want to do that. And then when you're playing live, you can't worry about that. You're sort of more concentrating on enjoying yourself. Than... Obviously, there's an element now we realise that it's kind of good to play the songs well, but I think enjoyment's probably more important.
Are there any bands, you said friends, are there bands that you've either seen or want to see here?
Actually, to be honest, I would rather not see a band here. I mean, I love seeing bands, but I'd rather, like... I really want to see M. Ward play the other night, and I stood in a queue for 15 minutes and didn't move. I thought, right, I want to see him more, an awful lot, because I really love him, I love his records, but I don't want to stand in a queue, and I also don't want to stand in an absolutely packed venue, you know? So, I'm one of these people now that I prefer going to see shows just, like, not tight. I don't like, even like, festivals I like socially, but I don't even like them to watch bands. I just prefer to go and see a band specifically, you know?
So back when you were in that moment where you were, quote, the buzz band, and you were... You know, did you hear a lot of people saying, well, let's find out what Idlewild's going to do on their sophomore album and blah, blah, blah?
Yeah, but I mean, those kind of people are always really boring company. I mean, I don't really care about stuff like that, you know, and if I can see a band and they're really good, that's the moment that I saw them in, that's perfect. I don't think about, well, yeah, where they're going to be in 10 years. I mean, who lives their life like that?
But what do you, and I want to ask the two of you this, what do you think about the fact that there really is... I mean, there never stopped being a British invasion, but what has happened, and it's a lot of bands that I've interviewed recently, be it Dog's Eye and Hot Cars, or, you know, The Delays, or, you know, a lot of the really poppy side of things. But the one thing they said is what did happen, or the Kaiser Chiefs, you know, a lot of these bands that are the hip bands of the moment, what they are, and the new hip bands of the moment, what they all said was that something did happen in England over the past couple of years where melody did come back. Like, grunge hit England later than it hit here.
I have no idea why it happened, but a lot of it just reminds me of, you know, 1995 all over again, like the Kaiser Chiefs, and it's just pure chirpy Britpop. I don't think much of it's very good, really. But you know, I guess it just, I have no idea why it happens. I mean, Franz Ferdinand, they're a good band, and they came along, and guitars and, you know, pop songs, sold millions of records, and then everyone else thinks we'll do something like that. And
it's typical, you know, you get like one really good, you know, one good band like Franz Ferdinand, who are kind of just a really good pop band, you know, and you basically, it's followed by a lot of people that wear the same clothes as them, but don't necessarily play very good music.
So then there's that art versus commerce thing, isn't there?
Yeah, but I mean, people, you know, especially in Britain, music's so much about image and a whole sort of, I suppose, style that you can buy into as well as just the music, you know. And so if a band wear a, you know, particularly striking outfit, they're going to be more popular than one that just, you know,
I mean,
hangs around in jeans and t-shirts.
It really is all relative, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like every band exists for a reason. And they all fill up certain voids, and some of them last for a year and some of them last for 20 years. And you just never really know. So I tend to think that, you know, good luck to them all. I mean, some of them I don't particularly like, but then I just don't listen to. You know, it's not as simple as that. If you don't like it, you turn it off.
Rather than protest, just go away.
Exactly, and if you do like it, then great. And there's lots of bands I do like, and there's lots of bands I don't necessarily don't like. They don't mean anything to me. And it's just, that's pretty much it to me. I think it's too important to enjoy yourself and waste your time worrying why some particular band are popular.
Cheers to that.
Yeah.
The new album, lyrically, subject matter-wise, where have you taken it? Because we've talked about the production on it, but let's talk about, I mean, one of the things that you are known for as a band is, you know, real live lyrics. You know, they're not just idle songs about flowers and love and bees and trees, yeah, and C's and D's and, you know, and stuff like that. So tell me a little bit about kind of, you know, where the band's at and where you're taking the songs and, you know, all of that sort of thing.
Well, it's, to be honest, it's quite simplified, really, this time. Musically it's more complicated, but at the same time there's more space, so it seems like an easier record to get your head around. It's not sort of like, you know, full up. And lyrically it's like that as well. It's more sort of sparse, and because of that I think it's easier to understand. And it's just a general, it's a record about contradictions and uncertainty and, you know, all the usual themes.
Existential
Dread.
That was the other band name.
Yeah.
Existential Dread.
That's the first album by the Melt the Lollipops.
The other thing that is kind of interesting, and now of course we're going to have to get a copy, is that has been happening a lot here. There's a lovely band called I Am Clute that I interviewed a while ago, and their first album came out a year and a half ago in England, and the record company called me up about 2 months ago and said, I'd gotten it from there. I've got this incredible band, you've got to hear them. I said, I've been playing them for a year.
Yeah.
So what's your kind of feeling? I mean, you probably, as the artist, don't get a lot of control over it, but you mentioned that the new album that you and I were talking about, which I will in turn get and play, people still here are going to have to wait for...
Not as long, till August.
Not that bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's only a few months, really, when you think about it. It's only 4 months.
Do you think that England waits a lot for our stuff?
Not generally.
I know.
Sometimes.
But not as often,
like,
so...
A band like Modest Mouse, for example, that record didn't come out in England 4 months after it came out in America.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, it comes out at the same time. It's boring to talk about because it's all really just to do with record label politics.
It's the record label politics, yeah.
It's about, you know, when's the right time to put something out and all this sort of run up. And
when is exactly the right time to put the new album out in America?
We suffer from it because the first record came out a year after. So we're like playing catch up constantly, you know? Like this last
That's
record.
What I'm talking about. I mean, when I was talking, you know, I talked to bands about it and they say, well, you know, I did that album a year ago, I don't even remember.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm just looking forward to when it comes out here. I mean, in fairness, we are going to be touring in Europe until middle of July, so we wouldn't have the chance to come over here to play. So
So that's fair play.
So it works out well in that respect. But obviously I realised that a ton of people go and buy it on import. And I don't know.
You know what I found out, though, and it's a frustration of Katie's of mine. You want to get something on iTunes in England because of the way the credit cards are. So the last thing that I like to do, in addition to your new music, is I like to make I call it a musical sandwich. Two of your songs is the bread. However, several artists recently have said, I want three songs, so they made a club sandwich. You know, so they put three pieces of bread. So I want you to each pick, you know, decide what you want for the Idlewild tunes, and then pick a few other bands, a few other things that you've always wanted to hear with your music.
Okay.
Can you guys pass around, hold the mic and pass it around and pick your music.
Bread. It's going to be You Held the World in Your Arms on the bottom, and on the top, The Space Between All Things from our new record, The Fillins.
Okay, hand it to him for some of
that. Could you look like Downtown?
Hey, I play that, so that's, I mean, that's, you know, by the
Tiny Dancer by Elton John.
Nothing you say will scare me.
I don't know, some good bands.
Have you said anything?
The Walkman. Rat the Rat, that's a good song.
That I've Been Thinking from Handsome Boy Moreland School, featuring Cat Power.
Back in Black by AC/DC.
Out of Petula Clark, I think that'd be a great segue.
And then Petula Clark Downtown. There you go.
Lua by Bright Ice.